First, there's some easy contrasts that have been built up around religious and scientific communities. The short version is something like this: religious people don't like science, and scientific people don't like religion. But recent research took a closer look and found something that many scientific and religious people probably knew all along: you can be part of both worlds. Our next guest found that nearly half of evangelicals, for example, believe religion and science can have a collaborative relationship and support each other, but there are still some tensions between the two. Elaine Howard Eklund is the co-author of Religion Versus Science: What Religious People Really Think. She's also director of the Religion and Public Life Program and professor of sociology at Rice University. Elaine, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Rob.
Well, I want to go to the opening line in the main part of your book, quoting Richard Dawkins is not typical. We wish religious people knew this. Ken Ham is not typical. We wish scientists knew this. So Richard Dawkins, the biologist and prominent atheist, Ken Ham, the prominent creationist. Why did you open with that?
Well, Rob, when we surveyed religious people, we found that many of them did think that Richard Dawkins was typical of all scientists. And when we followed up with in-depth interviews with them, that became even more apparent to us. And in my broader research on scientists, I find that even for atheist scientists, there is not the sense that they're all against religion. So first of all, as you correctly stated when you did your opening, there are certainly people who have a foot in both worlds. So there are scientists who are religious, and there are religious people who are scientists, of course. But yet there are still these seemingly intractable myths about both communities. And so we wanted to set out to bring social science research to light on this.
And you did that by talking to people, for one thing, but with big surveys. What did you try to tackle over the course of your research in surveying people of various faiths and non-faiths?
So we wanted to know, first of all, we did a survey of over 10,000 people in the U.S., so everyone, all religious traditions, as well as the non-religious. We wanted to know what issues there really are tensions around. And we found that, in general, people of faith really like science. And actually, I would say that I, as a researcher, even someone who studied religion for a number of years now, was a little bit surprised about how enthused people of faith are about science. And this means Jews and Christians and Muslims, the major traditions that are represented in the U.S., and even fairly conservative Christians, which I think sometimes have been the group that has been kind of pitted against science in the media and has raised some real concerns about, say, teaching evolution in public schools and things like that. So I was surprised at the extent to which religious people actually really like science. We have questions as social scientists about social distance on surveys. Like, for example, we might ask, would you like your child to marry a person of this social group or partner with a person in this social group? And that's a measure of affirmation of that group, right? You might be fine knowing someone, but having them come into your family is a different kind of thing. Well, across the board, Americans tend to think scientists are a pretty positive group of people, no problem with their children marrying them, for example. But we did find that certain scientific issues do cause concern among religious people. So issues that have to do, or at least people of faith think they have to do, with who God is and who humans are. So there's the sense that religious people want an involved God, and they want humans to be treated as sacred. So particular issues, so evolution is one of those issues that raises concerns about who God is. So did God really start the world and create human beings and sponsor their development, or is there something else that doesn't involve God? So there's concerns about evolution. There's concerns about the so-called beginning of life technologies, reproductive technologies, genetic testing, these kinds of science that seem to cause some people pause. When it comes to the sacredness of human beings as distinct.
One of your goals in the book is to provide some lessons as to how people in the science world can talk to people in the faith world and vice versa. When you've got an issue like evolution, where at least a portion of a given faith community views it as wrong and contradictory to their teachings, is there a productive way for people on either side of that debate to get together and talk about it?
Rob, I'm a professor, so my go-to is getting people more information, right? And I would say one thing I learned from doing this research for the past 5 years is that it's not necessarily a matter of more information. So people of faith, many of them know what evolution is, would say get that right on a test. But they just don't think it's right. They don't feel like it's right in terms of the kind of implications it might have for their faith traditions. And what does seem to change people's minds to some extent, social psychologists will tell us, is actually knowing someone who dispels your stereotypes. So if you're, say, an evangelical Christian, and you are to meet a scientist in your congregation who's also an evangelical Christian, who kind of challenges some of your stereotypes. You thought maybe all scientists were atheists, but this person is clearly a scientist, someone who, say, is in the worship band at your church and does kind of church things, and you trust them, and yet they also are an evolutionary biologist. That might kind of change your stereotypes a bit. And that relationship tie is a kind of tie that then maybe you're more susceptible to information being passed over that tie. And so scientists often ask me, you know, what kind of information do I need to give religious people to get them to think evolution's okay, to get them on board with human embryonic stem cell research? And it may not be just a matter of information. The first question may be something like, who do religious people trust? And what does it take to build their trust? That may be the better kind of question to ask.
Elaine Howard Eklund is with us, co-author of the new book, Religion Versus Science, What Religious People Really Think. And that gets to one of the myths that you are trying to bust in the book, the idea that religious people are not scientists, and I guess a corollary that scientists are not religious people. There's more overlap than we might think.
That's right. That's right. So we did find that there are definitely scientists in the faith communities that we studied. So we studied in depth Christians, including evangelical Christians, mainline Protestants like Methodists, Episcopalians, for example, Catholics, as well as Muslims and Jews in U.S. society. There are definitely scientists in each of those traditions, even scientists who are evangelical Christians, which, as I said earlier, has been a tradition that's sometimes been pitted against science in more recent years. So there are scientists there. We found that they tended not to be scientists who were at elite research universities, and I wrote a different book called Science Versus Religion, What Scientists Really Think, a few years ago, and that took a look just at the top research universities in the U.S. And religious people, particularly conservative Christians, are a bit underrepresented in those kinds of institutions. But when you look into the general science profession, so if you include, say, medicine in that, you think about, you know, research and development for an oil and gas company or a pharmaceutical company, other kinds of scientific professions, they're pretty religiously similar to the general population. So there is about the same proportion, a little bit less, of, say, evangelical Christians, mainline Protestants in those professions as in the general population. But I don't think scientists, because of the prevalent stereotypes, always feel comfortable talking about their science at church, for example. And so maybe that's where there's some confusion, is that if you're kind of secretive about your work, then your peers, the other people in the pews, might not necessarily know that there are scientists in their congregations.
And you mentioned the issue of maybe people of a particular faith being suspicious of certain kinds of reproductive science and technology. And that seems like a little different issue. If you're arguing over the age of the earth or evolution, you're arguing about evidence and the nature of reality in some ways. If you're talking about reproductive technology, I mean, by analogy, if you're opposed to nuclear power, you're not disputing atomic theory. You're disputing the application of it. So is that a different kind of argument?
It is a different kind of argument. That was well put. So this is a set of science which has, scientists will tell you too, has a lot of ethical implications. And here is where the Christians and Muslims and Jews we interviewed. So we did this big survey, which I talked about earlier. We also followed up the survey with over 300 in-depth interviews in 23 different religious organizations. And we found, especially through our interviews, that people of faith wonder if scientists have reflected ethically as much as they need to. Just because it can be done, should it be done, was a question that religious people often posed to me when I was interviewing them. And so they wonder if, you know, scientists are doing all the ethical spade work they need to, and they wonder about the application. They also think that scientists may dislike them. And so there was another question on our survey, which was really interesting, Rob, where we asked religious people and non-religious people whether or not they perceive scientists to be hostile to religion. And we found that, especially amongst evangelicals, but also Catholics, mainline Protestants, there is a sense that maybe scientists are kind of hostile to religious people. I don't think that's actually accurate. In my broader work on scientists, I don't find that scientists are, by and large, hostile to religious people. They may not understand them always, but I didn't find this kind of hostility that religious people thinks is so prevalent. And so that shows that there may be a kind of misunderstanding. That's why Christopher Scheidel, the co-author of this book, and I talk so much in the book about moving beyond myths and stereotypes, because there may be some serious misunderstanding between these two communities. There may be more room for dialogue than we might think.
Elaine Howard Eklund is the director of the Religion and Public Life Program at Rice University, co-author of the book Religion versus Science, What Religious People Really Think. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you find religion and science compatible or at odds with one another? If you're in the faith world, are you suspicious of some of what the scientific world teaches, or vice versa? Or do you live in both worlds and you're doing just fine? Thank you very much. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation now with Elaine Howard Eklund, author of the book Religion versus Science, What Religious People Really Think. We're looking at how religious people view science and if they see it as compatible with their faith. You can join in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Do you have feet in both worlds, religion and science, or do you see a conflict between the two? Do you see yourself on one side of that conflict? Call 800-642-1234 or tweet us at Central Time WPR. To your calls now. Susanna is with us in Milwaukee. Susanna, hi.
Hi.
What do you think?
Well, I was raised in a very conservative evangelical Christian home, went to Christian school where we were taught creationism primarily. And I recently married a microbiologist who serves as a Sunday school teacher at my church and I serve at church as well. So I know that even though I was raised believing that evolution was not at all compatible with Christianity, as I've grown up and met my husband and had conversations, I've found that, yes, they are compatible and you can actually be in both worlds.
Susanna, thank you so much for sharing your story. Elaine, what do you think?
I think Susanna's story is probably not that typical. We did find in our broader research that sometimes an experience like Susanna's might cause her to chuck her faith altogether. And, you know, when she's exposed to science. And so I think within her words, there's a nice lesson. Maybe there's youth group ministers out there listening to the show. We need to teach children, how to ask hard questions of their faith in the context of churches, say, and synagogues and mosques. And so I think it's neat that now Susanna has this, marriage where she's being exposed to these kinds of ideas, and that her husband obviously doesn't think that there's any personal conflict. The second kind of thing is I wonder if the microbiologist's husband is talking about his science at church, and, you know, there would be a lot of people who might be interested and find a kind of inspiration in that if he did.
Susanna, thanks a lot for the call. We heard from Linda on Facebook. Linda says, science increases my faith. For example, who could possibly make a fully functioning digestive system in something so small as a gnat? Wonder, she writes, is all around us. We need to respond to it. We need to look at it, see it, and we need to take the time to learn about it. And Linda reminds me of, Isaac Newton, right? I mean, a big science figure, and he viewed himself as exploring God's creation in some ways.
Mm-hmm. There is a rich history in the Christian tradition of scientists who thought that they were, exploring God's creation, and their faith gave them a kind of motivation to learn more about science. And scientists, it's funny to me when I interview and survey scientists themselves, they don't feel like free to talk about that openly, but they're certainly there in modern day times too, meaning that there are scientists who are people of faith and who, for whom their faith tradition kind of is a motivating factor. They don't see it as in any way in conflict. And in particular, scientists who have faith tell us that they use their faith to think through these kind of potentially sticky ethical issues. So they don't think that, being a person of faith necessarily changes their scientific work in any way. They're doing the same science as those people who don't have faith, but their faith traditions might give them a rich narrative or way of thinking about the application of their scientific work in ways that's generative.
Talking to Elaine Howard Eklund, co-author of Religion Versus Science, What Religious People Really Think. Back to your calls now. Bob is with us in the Madison area. Bob, hi.
Hi. I was just seeing that my son, he has Asperger's, and he did not accept our faith. We were born and raised Catholic, which caused me to take a look at my Catholic faith, and I started reading all these books on science, and about 15 to 20 books later, I began to understand his point, and the conclusion that I've come to is that truth will be truth regardless of if it's in the science field or within the religious field. And I basically concluded that all religions have evolved by culture and language over time, and it's our understanding of how we have tried to understand the mysteries that are before us. Science is pretty much trying to do the same thing, but they're trying to do it through observation. And I find that science actually points to the designer and a creator, and with that, I'll let you comment on that. Leave the call.
Bob, thanks for the call. Elaine, does that sound like stories you heard in talking to people as part of your research?
It does. I think, Bob, our caller really does, has thought about this in a pretty articulate way, and some scientists are not able to really articulate that in the same way. They don't really have space in their lives to think about how science and faith fit or don't fit together. And so sometimes even doing an interview provides a kind of space for reflection. But that narrative does come up, if I understand it correctly, that science is discovering truth about the natural world using a particular set of tools and methods, and that religion discovers other kinds of truths. This sort of, there's a kind of Stephen Jay Gould, the famous paleontologist who coined the term non-overlapping magisterium, that science and faith are different kinds of knowledge and in independent realms. And I think that's a really interesting approach. Scientists do say that in practice it sometimes gets hard because, religious people bring up sticky issues for science, so then faith kind of enters science, right? It's hard to keep them separate. And so the independence framework, or that they're non-overlapping, can only go so far in how you actually live your life. But the caller certainly raises a great point, and something which I've heard among the scientists I've interviewed.
Elaine, you find a fair amount of common ground and places where people can reach past stereotypes to bring together people of faith and science, sometimes in the same person. But are we always going to be stuck with areas of conflict? I'm thinking of the debate over how evolution is taught in schools, if evolution is taught in schools, if alternatives have to be taught. I mean, we're going back about a century, and it's still a lively debate. How do we get around that? How do we work with that?
I don't want to come off as sounding overly Pollyanna-ish. There are real conflicts. I'll add another one to the one that you just nicely stated, Rob. So we asked the people in our survey to what extent they think scientists ought to entertain miracles in their theories and explanations for how the world works. And, you know, even scientists who are people of faith think that miracles are something separate. They might believe they exist, but they don't think that what they're doing as scientists should necessarily involve miracles or have access to miracles. Yet, you know, 60% of evangelical Christians think scientists ought to entertain miracles as part of their theories and explanations about the world. And so when religious groups say that there's the potential for collaboration between science and religion, the next question I need to ask myself as a researcher is, what kind of science are they talking about and what kind of religion? Because it does seem like these two bodies of knowledge make sometimes contradictory claims about the way that the world works. And so, but I do come down on the side of understanding that yes, there are those issues in the corners which are lurking, but there's so much misunderstanding. Why not deal with that first, right? Then we can get to the really tricky stuff, but we're not even at the point where we've dispelled major stereotypes. So let's start there, and hopefully by starting to dispel stereotypes, we can gain some common ground for the common good. So, for example, if scientists knew just how on board that religious people are likely to be about environmental care, they might see some willing partners. That our research showed that objection to humans being involved in climate change, for example, research that shows this is really more of a political issue than a religious issue.
And we'll leave it there. Elaine Howard Eklund is the director of the Religion and Public Life Program and professor of sociology at Rice University. She's the co-author of the new book, Religion Versus Science, What Religious People Really Think. Still time to share your thoughts and maybe your own story. You can do that over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.